The following is a lecture to youth, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 23rd, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadudam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam So, here you are in the human form of life. Do you know how many births you had to go through to get this form? It is described in the Vishnu Purana that there are 8,400,000 different species of life. Jalajanavalakshani Stavala Laksha Vingshati Krimya Ruddha Sankhya Kya Pakshinam Dasha Lakshanam Trancha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manushaha. 8,400,000 species. I said, okay, now I want you to go out and take 900,000 births as a fish. And then when you've done that, you can take birth as a plant and a tree for 2 million births, and then you can come as a reptile and a worm, and you can become a bird, and you become a beast, you see, and finally now you can become a human being. So after going through all that and finally reaching the human form, what do you think you should do in the human form? Should you live like an animal, simply gratifying your senses? Would that be a very intelligent thing? Such great endeavor and struggle you went through to get a human body, and now you live like an animal, simply gratifying your senses? What a foolish misuse that would be, you see. If you live like an animal, you know what happens? Purna Musaka Baba, you become animal again, you see. This human form of life is a great boon given by God. Do not abuse this human life. Do not abuse it. If you take this great boon, you've come to the topmost position in the evolutionary cycle of human birth, you see. If you misuse it, again you go down. You know the story, Puna Musika Baba? Again you become a mouse, you see. It is like that. That little mouse, every time he came out of his mouse hole, you see, there was a cat waiting to pounce on him and eat him, you see. So he was having a very, very difficult time how he would survive. Every time he tried to come out to eat, the cat was ready to jump on him and eat him, you see. So one day the cat was sleeping and he said, now's my chance. It was a yogi in the village, a powerful mystic yogi in the village. So he made a mad dash for the yogi's hut as soon as that cat went to sleep. And he said, yogi, 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 I'm being tortured by this cat. What to do? What to do? What to do? He said, well, I can make you a cat and he won't bother you anymore. Yes, make me a cat. Okay. Poof. Now you're a cat, you see. Now he's got no problem, you see, with a cat. And he's walking down the street. The cats won't bother him. And then some dog comes. Ruff, 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 ruff. The cat's running up the tree. Finally the dog goes away again back to the yogi's hut. My dear yogi, now the dog is bothering me. Well, I can make you a dog. Would you like that? Yes, make me a dog. All right, poof, now you're a dog, you see. Now I've got no problem. The dog will not bother me. The cat will not bother me, you see. No problems. But then, into the village comes one Bengali tiger looking for a nice dog or a cat to eat, you see. Or a human being. He goes running back to the yogi. He said, "There's a tiger, there's a tiger. What to do, what to do?" "Well, I can make you a tiger." "Yes, yes." Poof, tiger. So the tiger, he doesn't have to go to the grocery store and he doesn't have to cook the meat. He can just jump and eat. But there's one problem the tiger has, you see. Whenever the tiger wants to go to take his meals, the meals go running as fast as they can in the opposite direction. I mean, really fast. And Prabhupada points out, there's a little bird in the jungle. He goes, "Say you, say you, say you." He makes a signal. When the tiger goes on his lunch break, that little bird, he alerts everyone, the tiger is on his lunch break now. Everyone head for the hills. And there's a mass exodus. Great. All the animals go running as fast as they can away from that signal, you see. And the tiger is looking around. "What happened to my lunch?" He went to the cafeteria and there's nothing behind the counter, you see. There's nothing there. What am I going to do? You see, wherever I go, this little bird is flying around and warning all the animals. What am I going to do? So, but now the tiger is sitting in this little hut with a nice plump yogi. So that yogi, he's no dummy, you see. He has all kinds of mystic powers. He can immediately read the mind of the tiger. He says, "Oh, you want to eat me?" Tiger says, "Yes." The yogi says, "Punagamuzika Baba," again you become mouse. You see. Now you have come up through the evolutionary cycle. You become a tiger. Like the human beings are like tiger on this planet. They control all the other animals that are being controlled. They're put in the zoo. You see, the human being, they're like tiger. Even the tigers they put in the zoo. You say lock them up in a cage. The human beings are the tiger-like species now on this planet. You see, but who has God given us this position? It is given by God. And now what are we doing? We're denying God. You see, just we want to kill God. You see? So what will God do? Punar Muzika Bhava. Down you go to the animal kingdom again, rascal. You want to defy my existence? I've given you this position. And you defy my existence? Down you go to the animal kingdom again. So do not waste this human life. You don't remember what you've gone through to get here. Great struggles and austerities you've gone through to get this human form. Do not waste it. Do not waste it. Do not waste it. You'll be the greatest regret if you waste it. You must take up the path of bhakti, the self-realization pathway. It is clearly stated in the Vedanta Sutra, which is the encapsulation of the entire Vedic wisdom and further expounded on in the Bhagavatam. Tato brahma jigyasa. You see. Now you have a human form. You must utilize it for self-realization. Don't use it for eating, sleeping, mating and defending, imitating the ways of the animals. Do not do that. But this culture out here, we can see out the window. You see this Australian modern day culture. With the famous Sydney Harbour, and there's the Sydney Opera House. You see, right down there. What is this culture? You see, simply sense gratification. Gratify your senses, gratify your senses, gratify your senses. If you follow the way of this civilization out here, I guarantee you won't be a human being your next birth. You will not be a human being your next birth. If you want to be guaranteed at least a human birth in this life, you must follow this principle of Tato Bhamiri Jigyasa. You must inquire, what is the nature of the Absolute Truth? Who am I? Where have I come from? How have I gotten this birth? What is the goal of my human life? How can I achieve it? You see, this you must do. Understand these points? This you must do. Otherwise, Bhagavatam says, Shrama Evi Kevalam. If you don't cultivate this self-realization process, Krishna consciousness, everything you're doing is simply a useless waste of time. You may have a big college degree, you may have a big job, you may have a bank balance, you may have a wife, kids, so many things. Even you become Brahma, the chief demigod of the entire material world, still, Shrama Eva Kevalam is useless labor. Because even Brahmaji has to die. He is not beyond. So instead of endeavoring for that material position in society, of course, that can be accepted, but subordinate, that's all. Everyone requires some livelihood, so there's no harm. One has to find some means of livelihood according to one's nature. Whatever is available, you take that livelihood. That's all right. That's your quota, you see. But you have to know to whom everything belongs. Ishavashimadat sarvam yatkincha jagijam jagat tena chakchena bunjita magrida kashasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, knowing well to whom everything else belongs. So whatever your quota means, how to keep yourself healthy and fit. That is your quota. You see, keep yourself healthy and fit. But to gratify the senses unnecessarily beyond what you require for good health, that is not your quota, you see. You're encroaching upon the quota of others when you do that. Like Gandhiji said, there's enough in this world for everyone's need, but not enough for everybody's greed. You see? This is the problem. There's full facility, there's all provision for every living entity, well fed. But some people are greedy, they're hoarding, they're exploiting. And therefore people are starving, you see. Not that God is not given. Man is getting in the way, and he's greedily, it's like I saw many years ago, it was a huge crop of navel oranges, the first class navel oranges in Southern California, the best quality oranges. So instead of letting them go at a cheap price, they figure they would make more money. The businessmen figure they would make more money by letting them rot. Just let them rot. And just let a small quantity go at the usual high price, you see. So, in this way, you see, because of greed, there's so much suffering in the world. People are greedy. Capitalistic people are very greedy. They just want to squeeze money out of everyone for their own sense gratification. So, a life of greed will not give you any satisfaction. Try to then just live a life of devotion. My dear Lord, now I'm your eternal servant. You please guide me of how I can be fully surrendered unto you, how I can be your devotee. You see. Whatever you want me to do, my Lord, now I'm simply your servant. Please engage me how I can engage in your pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Any questions? I'm supposed to be writing questions down. Anybody have any questions?
Srila Gurudeva, you are telling that human life has to be only for God realization and a healthy life.
Yeah.
But in some other lecture you have told that if we do jogging, then our breath will increase and then our lifespan will be shortened. So how do we balance these things?
Yeah, well, you can exercise in such a way that doesn't... We've heard that the lifespan is based on the number of breaths, and if you... You know, if you're exercising like that, where you just... And your breath is going very fast, that's decreasing the duration of life. So you do exercises that don't require you to be all... to get out of breath. There's so many exercises you can do, but you don't get... like that, you can breathe more naturally. Just like in yoga exercises, they don't... You see that? But you can work out with weights even, without having to, rev up your breathing. Jogging will You don't have to jog to be healthy. You can probably take a brisk walk.
Thank you.
Yeah. So exercise is good. Prabhupada walked every day. The doctor advised him to do it, and he did it because he took a very brisk walk. Very, very brisk. Devotees could hardly, 20-year-olds could hardly keep up with him. Prabhupada was really walking fast. But it's not you getting all out of breath by doing that. How do we develop the mood that Krishna will always protect you? Well, do you believe that Krishna is telling the truth in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna lying? Krishna says, Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana priyapatate tesha mittabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So Krishna gives such words of assurance, and such words are backed up by Krishna. He's the supreme authority. He's not dependent on anyone else. It's his own sweet will. So when Krishna himself guarantees that if you become completely dependent on him, then he'll provide everything you need, you can trust his words. So how do you develop the faith? Well, you just have to do it. You just have to depend on Krishna and then see by the result. Then your faith becomes very strong. You see? Instead of being so much anxiety, let me just try to serve Krishna, do my duty, and depend on him for the result, and then just see what comes. You just have to practice it. Let me act as if Krishna is my protector, putting my faith in his words and depend on him in everything that I do, and then see the result. By seeing the result, your faith in Krishna will greatly increase. That's it. It's like I'm putting my faith in Krishna right now. I had no idea what I would talk about tonight, you see. And coming here, I didn't know what kind of atmosphere would be here. I had no idea what I would speak about. But I'm depending on Krishna. What should I tell them? You see? So, the experience of preaching reconfirms this again and again for me, that Krishna is always helping me. You see? I can see again and again Krishna is helping me. There's so many situations where I don't really know how I'm going to deal with it, but Krishna always helps me out because I just depend on him. So the point is, depend on Krishna. Go ahead and do it. Put some faith in his words and judge by the result, and that will increase your faith. We know that Maya will constantly try to haunt us to commit sinful activities. We know that if we engage in Krishna consciousness, we will not be troubled by Maya, but I am very lazy and have not motivation to read books and improve my sadhana. What can I do? Well, if you're a college student, you may be lazy to read the books, but you read them anyway, don't you? Isn't it? Because you know you have to pass the course. Isn't it? And who's studying in college right now? University. All right. You always enthusiastic to read the books, you do it because you know you have to. Know that you have to, right? So, because you want that degree. So, Krishna consciousness is also giving you a degree. It's called Back to Home, Back to Godhead degree, you see. Well, do I want to go back to Godhead, or I want to rot in this material existence? Therefore, I better read these books, you see. You have to, just like you motivate yourself to study, nobody's putting a gun in your head and say, okay, study. Use your intelligence and you motivate yourself. Because you have a certain goal and you know you have to do this to achieve it. So in the same way, you study the books of Prabhupada. You know that you have to do this in order to achieve pure bhakti. And you know that pure bhakti is more valuable than your university degree. Therefore, reading Prabhupada's books is even more important than reading your university books. You understand? In this way. Okay, next one. Many people say that we are wasting our youth. Bhakti can be done in old age. How can we overcome this? What does old mean? It means just about to die, right? So who can say they're not just about to die? Can anyone say, I'm not just about to die? Can anyone guarantee you're not just about to die today or tomorrow or next week? Can any of you say that? No. So actually, this is old age right now. We can die at any time, therefore we have to be prepared. You see, in your university, the final exam is announced, isn't it? On such and such date. But in this university called Life, the final exam is we call it a pop quiz in the U.S. You call it a pop quiz in Australia? It's called a pop quiz. At any day, the professor can pop it on you at any time. You never know. You walk in. Today's students were having a pop quiz. What do they call that in Australia? Pop quiz? Yeah. Okay. Yamaraj says, pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
Yeah. Not like popcorn, not like, you know, like popcorn. Not that kind of pop. Not the Hindi kind of pop. English pop. Not pop it on you. You know? What is the importance of Brahmachari Ashram? Brahmachari means you're not a slave of sex desire. You see? Actually, in our Vedic culture, we have four kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari brahmacharis, grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmachari, sannyasa brahmachari. And now ISKCON, Prabhupada added another one for the poor girls in this age, the brahmacharini brahmacharis, you see. Now the whole marriage institution has gone crazy, you know. Women are unprotected. So Prabhupada gave protection to the women in Brahmacharini Ashram also. It's an adjustment for the modern times, you see. So we're all Brahmacharis. Why? Why Brahmachari, you see? And Brahmachari means to see every woman as mother, except for your wife. That is Brahmachari, you see. Because sex life is the binding force that has kept us in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. Just consider the consciousness of the male ostrich when he sees the female ostrich. You know the ostrich? He has big scaly legs and a funny looking tail, you know? Just imagine if you saw a female ostrich and became all excited. Oh, Romeo, oh, Juliet. Seeing a female ostrich, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, you see. But we were like that. We were male ostriches at one time, or we were female ostriches. We were in love with the opposite sex, you see. So this attraction for male-female, it has kept us entangled birth after birth after birth after birth, you see. In the cycle of birth and death. So, as Vishnu Jan Swami one time said, for millions of lifetimes, you've been serving wife and family, and where has it gotten you? Now, you have one lifetime simply to serve Guru and Krishna. You see, that is Brahmachari. Give one lifetime simply to serve Guru and Krishna. And it's actually a very interesting suggestion, because, you know, you've been serving wife and family for millions of births, and where has it gotten you? Another material body? So just make an experiment. For one lifetime, simply Guru and Krishna, and that's it. And let's see what kind of different result I get, you know, by doing them. Now we allow, if it's too much for you, then you can get married, Krishna conscious wife, but that same consciousness has to be the Brahmachari. Some devotees in ISKCON have been introducing this idea that household life means you can enjoy sex with no restriction. But actually, Prabhupada said, if you do that, you're turning your wife into a prostitute. Grihastha also is meant to be a brahmachari, except for making his wife pregnant once in a month. Strict brahmachari. If they don't want to have kids, strict brahmachari. My wife and I have been brahmachari for 30 years almost. 29 years now. 29.
Whole life.
Since our marriage. As a married couple, we've practiced strict brahmachari. You see. So, if one doesn't want to have children, they should be grihastha, brahmachari, practice brahmachari as grihastha. And even having sex only for procreation, that is also called brahmachari by Prabhupada. You see. So, we must practice brahmachari, you see. So that's next quote. How do you know what is your quota? Whatever you need to live comfortably is okay. You need some heat, that's all right. In the winter, you see. You need a place to take your bath. You know, whatever you... Comfortable living is no problem. You can live comfortably, but not extravagantly. Then I have to have a jacuzzi. Is it? Something like that. I have to have a swimming pool in my backyard, you know. Not necessary. If someone offended the devotees, Vata Yatra, when you try to explain what the event means, how do you help that happen to somebody today? Well, it means you need to be more careful how you explain the festival to them. In preaching, we have to be very careful how we explain it to people, because it's our fault if they commit an offense when we preach to them. The ninth offense is to instruct the glories of the Lord to the faithless. So we have to be very careful how we give instructions. If we give them, yeah?
Is it to a devotee or some outsider?
It was to the deities.
It was someone
outside. They asked what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to be very careful how to do it in such a way, you know. Of course, if it's somebody who's come to, with the intention of blaspheming the deities, and then if it's a Christian who's come to blaspheme the deities, then you have to be, you know, you don't even get into a conversation. You have to be intelligent enough to pick up what their motive is when somebody talks to you. You have to be very intuitive. Try to learn the art of being very intuitive. To try to figure out what their motive is, why they're asking the question, what the mood is. In this way, you have to become expert in preaching, so this kind of thing doesn't happen. Next question. How do I control my hormones? Oh, the male hormone, this is obviously a male, because I know my wife didn't ask this question. So, it means how do you control your male hormones? So, the male hormones mean you're healthy. Not bad thing to have male hormones, you know, vibrant, potent male hormones. It means you're healthy. But you just have to utilize that potency for Krishna, that's all, instead of for sense gratification. You engage your potency in the service of Krishna, you see. That's the proper utilization of your hormones. There is strength. Your hormones give you strength. So that strength should be used in the service of Krishna and Guru, you see, for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. It's like the semana is called Urdhva in Sankara, Rittaha. Urdhva Rittaha means semana rising, you see. So by not having sex life, even artificially stimulating the genitals, some boys masturbate. It's a very big mistake. One should not masturbate, artificially stimulate his genitals for passing semina. One should be very, very cautious not to pass any semina, so that semina can rise to the brain and nourish the brain for understanding the Vedic science very, very wonderfully, realizing very deeply and comprehensively understanding the Vedic science. Any other questions? So the questions have run out. And now you have a very good opportunity to, you know, take it or leave this process of Krishna consciousness. A very good opportunity. It's up to you. It's like Krishna told Arjuna, I've relieved this science to you, now you do what you like. See, no one can force you to become Krishna conscious. We don't try to force anybody to be Krishna conscious. We simply educate you so you know the choice between this culture and that culture out there, the Sydney culture. You need to know what direction this culture will take you. This sense gratification culture we're seeing out the window here. And you have to know what direction the Krishna conscious culture will take. You should clearly know the difference, and then you can decide what you want to do. We want you to be educated to know what is the pros and cons of this material culture and this spiritual culture. So you can intelligently analyze for yourself and make the proper decision that you can understand is in your highest self-interest. Yes?
Srila Gurudev, what will be your advice to devotees who are taking up preaching in universities and preaching to younger devotees? What will be your advice? How to preach, how to approach?
Well, there's two different questions, the universities and general devotees.
Youth, yes.
Or the general youth. One tip is this. Nowadays, religion is considered bad and spirituality is considered cool. Presented as spirituality, not religion. Or if you do use the word religion, explain what is the real meaning of the word religion. It's not some sectarian thing. This is not a Hindu thing. We're teaching people Hinduism. You see. We're teaching the science of how to reconnect the individual self with the Supreme Self. So that's one thing. Spirituality is considered very cool by the youth, and religion is considered uncool. You see. So learn how to present this as spirituality and not religion. But I mean, what they think of as religion. But ultimately, real religion and spirituality are the same thing. You can't be spiritual unless you're religious. If you're religious, you're spiritual. But they think religion in terms of belonging to some sectarian organization, simply some rules and regulations, that's religion. But real religion means to awaken the feelings of love for the supreme source of all existence, that supreme person who is emanating everything from his transcendental body at this very minute. You see? That's actual religion. To relig. In Latin, the word is religio, to relink or to relig with the supreme source of all existence. You see? So that's the main thing. Don't present it as rules and regulations. Present it as an ecstatic reawakening of a pure love, a pure loving relationship with the supreme source of all and therefore everything. How to achieve a state of perfect love. You see, that's how it should be presented, because that's what it is. We have to learn. I know in my own experience, even as a youth coming to Krishna consciousness, American youth coming to Krishna consciousness back in the early 70s, in the 60s also, in 69 I met the devotees. To me, they seemed like a military, joining the military, you know. Becoming a cadet in a military academy. That's what it was like to me. It wasn't very attractive. I'd already been through the military cadet thing as a in high school, I'd been a military cadet, and I could have saw it as another kind of military cadet. It wasn't very appealing. Then I met Vishnujana Swami, and he had a whole different way of presenting Krishna consciousness as a festival of bliss, an uninterrupted festival of ever-increasing bliss, and ever-increasing love, ever-increasing wonder, and magic, you see. He had a whole mystical air about him. Instead of just a much, okay, here's the rules, you know. Fall in line, boy, here's the rules. I mean, come on. I was trying to get out of that. And the counterculture, we wanted to reject that kind of thing. Just follow the rules blindly, boy, because you're supposed to, you know. But Vishnujana Swami, he was showing a wonderful, amazing culture where you could feel the bliss of transcendental a loving relationship with the Supreme Person, Krishna, the most beautiful, wonderful person you could ever imagine. Now you can connect with him through love and devotion. So in this way you have to present Krishna consciousness. It's a reawakening of the original pure energy of the living being. Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this process. Kindly take it very, very seriously and make sure this is your last birth in the material world, okay? Everybody agree? You gonna take it seriously? Everybody agree? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.